At the table of grace, the cup's never empty. The plate's always full, and it's never too late to come and be filled with love never ending. You're always welcome at the table.
You're welcome to the table of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he dines with you and you with him. The Comforter, even the Spirit of Truth, is your chef, and I am your steward, Joshua Ojo. Our main dish of the day is extracted from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. We will be feeding on verses 21 and 25. Verse 21 reads, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Verse 25, "And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Why did God instruct Joseph to call the Lord Jesus? What is the practical relevance to us of his name, Jesus? Names in the Bible are not random and meaningless. Names are specific. Names have a wealth of meaning and purpose. The names by which God calls his saints are prophetic. In other words, names are as the word of God is. They set the course of the life of the one named by God for God's purpose to be fulfilled in and through him or her. The authoritative witness to the significance of names is those names the Lord is called by. We will take five of his names. In Revelation 19, verse 13, his name is called the Word of God, revealing him to be God, as is written in the complementary verse in John chapter 1, verse 1. His being called Christ reveals his identity as the Son of God, with the holy nature of his Father, and also expresses his function as the King of Saints. The inspired recognition and verbal proclamation of who the Christ is in truth is the foundation upon which his church is built, and also for his authority vested in her. His name, Jesus, reveals that his purpose is to save us from our sins. His name, Emmanuel, reveals his identity and purpose as God with us. And in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, he is called faithful and true, revealing his nature of fidelity to his word, characterized by no deception in him. As we, by the Spirit of Truth, gain the understanding of these names, they reveal what we can look to our Lord Jesus for, and they also fulfill him in us. Likewise, we see the importance of names in the Bible when God changed Abraham's name and called him Abraham to reflect God's purpose through him as our patriarch. In addition, God commanded Father Abraham to rename his wife. Father Abraham changed her name from Sarai and instead called her Sarah. Sarah expressed God's purpose for her as the mother of his royal people. Other examples of saints called by new names which the mouth of the Lord named include our patriarch Israel, Hephzibah and Beulah, and the apostles Peter and Paul. Our God and Father be praised, for the classic change of name is that of you and I. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it is written that we, who were formerly called unrighteousness, darkness, and Belial, are now called righteousness, light, and Christ. When the truth dawns in us that we are in essence the new names we are called by, when we gain the consciousness that in our union with the Lord, we are not going to be, but that now are we righteousness, light, and Christ, then our names would fulfill in us indeed all that He is, even as we answer to who we are in truth. Furthermore, my name is Joshua. If someone around me was calling Moses, Moses, I may not even hear him, neither will it cross my mind to respond to the call. When we know our name, and when that consummate liar calls us by who we are not, we would, to all intents and purposes, be dead to his voice. And thus, we cannot respond to him in words or in actions that correspond to that which he is calling us. And if we might add, even the names by which the devil is called are not without their significance. In John chapter 8, verse 44, he is called the devil, expressing his nature of lie, or, if you will, his nature of sin. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, and Matthew chapter 12, verse 26, he is called Satan, reflecting his function as the prince of this world, the king of the kingdoms of his world of darkness. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, he is called the serpent, revealing his character of subtlety and craftiness and deception. And in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, and Revelation chapter 20, verse 2, he is called the old serpent, indicating that he is very well experienced in his treachery. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 3 and 9, he is called the great dragon, expressing his function as a commander-in-chief of the evil spiritual beings arrayed against us in mortal combat. Understanding the names of the devil unveils his multi-pronged weapons he deploys in his conflict with us. And with this illumination, we are better equipped to neutralize him in his relentless attacks against us. So we see that names reveal and fulfill the following: identity, nature, character, function, purpose. Now, seeing that we are all mutually agreed, as we might suppose, that names have meaning and purpose, we may now return to our main dish of Matthew chapter 1, verse 25. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The Lord is called Jesus because he shall save us from our sins. Before we begin to chew and digest and assimilate his mission implicit in his name, Jesus, it is expedient that we make the distinction between when the word sin is used in the Bible as singular and when used as plural, as it is deployed in our meditation for today. When used in the singular, sin is the nature of the devil we were all born with before we were born of God. And when used in the plural, sins is a product of that nature, otherwise called the works of darkness. Sins are the fruit of the evil tree and not the tree itself. This distinction is limited by the context in which the words sin or sins is used. In our meditation for today, It is written that the Lord is called Jesus because he shall save us from our sins. In this instance, plural. We will be looking at an aspect of our salvation from sins. So what is he saving us from? What exactly is he freeing us from? We begin our quest for the true response to our question from the beginning. The first couple died when the man disobeyed God at the instance of his deceived wife. As a result of the first man's sin, all humanity in him died. The preliminary outward manifestation of death is in sickness and diseases in our physical bodies. Going further in our quest to know what the name of Jesus saves us from, it was prophesied of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him, and with his stripes we ourselves are healed. The Lord bore our pains in his body. The wounds inflicted upon him were the consequences of our sins. He paid the price for the forgiveness of our sins. In the Bible, forgiveness of sins is invariably coupled with the healing of our bodies. And by the stripes inflicted upon him, we are not going to be, but we are healed. We get the preview of the fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah's prophecy in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And the apostle of our Lord Jesus wrote of the actual fulfillment of the prophecy in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Our Lord Jesus bore in his own body the price for the forgiveness of our sins and also our sicknesses and diseases, and we, as a result, have been healed. An organ of the salvation from our sins, implicit in the name of Jesus, is immediate and absolute deliverance from all sicknesses and diseases. So how do I enjoy my having been healed from every sickness and disease? Thankfully, the response is so simple that our little ones at the table can lay hold of him and instantaneously enjoy the providence of God in the name of his only begotten Son. Acts chapter 10, from verses 38 to 43, summarizes for us the ministry and mission of our Lord Jesus. The concluding verse 43 reads, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 21, it is written, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We enjoy the providence of God for the health of our bodies by simply believing in our hearts that Jesus is the Son of God, and calling upon his name, Jesus. Going further in the simplicity of enjoying being saved from our sins, being freed from ill health, we have written to us the first detailed healing by the church in Acts chapters 3 and 4. This healing of the lame man was wrought by God through the apostles Peter and John. When they were queried by the religious leaders of the day as to the source of the power, or by what name the impotent man was healed, they responded as is written in Acts chapter 4, verses 10 to 12. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other name by which we are delivered from sicknesses and diseases. There is no other name by which we have peace in our souls and enjoy being healed from every sickness and diseases. No other name but the name of Jesus. No other name but the name of Jesus is worthy of glory. Is worthy of honor, is worthy of power and all praise. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it is written that the name of the Son of God shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful in saving us from fear and ill health. Wonderful in reconciling us back to God and in healing our bodies. That wonderful name, Jesus. That wonderful name, Jesus. That wonderful name, Jesus. There is no other name I know. As we conclude our meal today, we leave you with the ultimate purpose of the signs done by the Lord that were recorded for us in the Gospel of John. The apostle of our Lord Jesus revealed the reason for the signs in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and in believing you have peace in your soul and health in your body simply by calling upon his name, Jesus. Amen.
My soul is thirsty, Lord, to know you as I know. Drink from the river that flows before your throne. Take me deeper.
We hope your whole spirit and soul and body have been nourished at the table of the Lord Jesus Christ today. You may send your comment and request for further clarification by WhatsApp to 0817-955-9161. 0817-955-9161 or send an email to thetableofourlord@gmail.com. thetableofourlord@gmail.com. Join our soon-coming bridegroom at his table at the same time next week. The grace of our Lord Jesus is with your spirit. Amen.
Take me deeper, deeper in love with you. Jesus, hold me close. I just wanna love.